You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It is Skews Day, May 17th, 2022. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. We're going to do things a little differently on this episode. We got some dumbasses for you, and we're going to talk about some primaries and stuff a little later. But like a couple of weeks ago with the big Supreme Court leak, had a subject tonight that felt like it shouldn't be prefaced with announcements and dumbassery and whatnot. It's the type of thing you should just get right into, talking, of course, about the horrific shooting in Buffalo and the implications thereof, particularly where things like white supremacy and white replacement theory are concerned. So, Mark, where are you at with all that?
Well, it's bad. I mean, it was a bad couple of days. There were like four mass shootings over the weekend. It says the 10 people killed in Buffalo. I think it's still 10. 21 people were shot in Milwaukee, 5 in Houston, 5 in Orange County. The one in Orange County was also a hate crime, but it was an inter-Asian Chinese on Taiwanese thing. The one in Milwaukee was 3 separate shootings. It was outside the Bucks game, and one of the 3 shootings was a full-on shootout between 2 people. It's just like, this is all very, very bad and gross. And I wish
you can't even keep up with it. It's like, you know, someone says, you know, what about that mass shooting the other day? You know, it's at a point where you got to be like, well, which one are you talking about? Which is so incredibly fucked up, but that's been the case for a while now.
It's also like, it's one of those things that's ever present, but also it's not, statistically, it's not a huge problem. Like, our individual chances of dying in a mass shooting are very small. The biggest problem with guns is suicides. Why this is a very American phenomenon, although, you know, there were the big mass shootings in New Zealand, and there was the one in, I think, Norway a couple of years ago, but those are like one-offs. This is just like a meme here, for lack of a better way to describe it. And I know the social science researchers have said that, like, shootings do spread like epidemics because people do copycat stuff. And Columbine, of course, expanded Psycho's imagination by what was possible by one determined weirdo. You know, that was 2 determined weirdos, big of a point. And this guy, his manifesto is also a how-to guide. It walks through, like, how, like, why he chose the weapons he did. He was frustrated he didn't have the budget to do a bigger shooting. Like, he couldn't practice with live ammo because he didn't have the budget for it. He didn't have the weapons he wanted, but he outlined why he wanted those weapons and why he chose the target he did. He literally went to the blackest zip code in his town. And he was gassed up by the internet, and he openly planned it on the internet, and nobody in the FBI noticed.
Yeah, and he also explicitly stated in there that it was racially motivated. He was worried about white genocide and white people being replaced and things of that nature, and that his stated goal was to kill as many black people as possible because of all that. And he's so there's this, you know, a lot of talk now about the replacement theory, white replacement theory, or great replacement theory, which is this idea that white people are being replaced with immigrants or people of color because those people are, you know, and it's like a leftist conspiracy. It's a conspiracy theory that the left is doing that because those people will vote. They'll win elections that way. Those people are more easily controlled, and that's why they're trying to get rid of white people. And it's a thing that's been around for a really long time and goes, it's like, you know, I mean, Hitler was all about basically a version of this. Mm-hmm. There's been all kinds of versions of it over the years. But now, recently, it's been fairly mainstream with the GOP, and including Tucker Carlson on his show. They talked about it a whole lot. And so people are, you know, connecting these dots, like this is leading directly to shit like this, which, of course, they disagree with. Why wouldn't they? But I'm just wondering what you think about that whole part of it.
The Tucker problem is not that he radicalizes guys like this, because Tucker's, you know, audience is white people over 60 whose brains don't work good anymore with the lead poisoning. So like this dude got his stuff from 4chan. The Tucker problem is Tucker launders 4chan and Daily Storm full on Nazi propaganda into the political mainstream. And that's how you get people like JD Vance, what's her name? Elise Stefanik, tweeting out great replacements. So they get it from Tucker. That's how it becomes a mainstream Republican talking point. But like, I saw some people trying to defend, saying, oh, well, libs have been talking about demographics being destiny for a while now. There was like, you know, that book written about the permanent Democratic majority written in the early 2000s, I think. But like all those takes are kind of stupid, because immigrants assimilate. By the second or third generation, they're just as likely to be Republican as pretty much anybody else.
Right.
But this idea that also the two things don't. Noticing that more immigrants are here and America's about to be majority, minority, or whatever, noticing it happening is far different from saying that Jews are doing it on purpose to stamp out the white race. It's like, it's not, the two things are not, and I saw, like, I think Tucker tried to make this point, Ben Shapiro did, and Glenn Greenwald did, doing whatever he's doing now. It's totally fucking asinine. Noticing something and saying that Jews are orchestrating, it's like noticing the wildfires in California and saying they're a problem, and then is different than thinking Jews did it with a space laser.
It's also like there's no part of them that's like, you know, hey, the demographics of America are changing. Maybe we should change to reflect that. Or, you know, like, look at the opportunities for what might reach these new demographics of people, or what's effective with them, as opposed to just like, this must be stopped at all costs, because it ultimately leads to the, you know, disappearance of the white race or whatever. It's just a pretty extreme take on the fact, you know, just a sort of like a shifting demographic landscape or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like, also, like, it's not based on reality in a couple different ways. It's like, this is why Joe Biden opened the border, was to, like, let in a bunch of new Hispanic voters. It's like, one, they don't vote, and two, the border's not open. He's not as openly bloodthirsty about it, but our border policies are just as draconian, pretty much, as they were under Trump, and he hasn't done anything to dial them back, not that I see anyway. We still have migrant kids in cages, and the right's currently whining that they're being given baby formula. And it's so, like, this is why you don't pander to them on this shit, because you're being cruel to a bunch of migrants and still being hit for not being cruel enough, right. So, like, why in the world would you sell out your humanity to try to triangulate to win some anti-immigration voter when they're never going to vote for you anyway? Obama lost his gambit with trying to get an immigration deal during his presidency. He ramped up enforcement to show Republicans he was serious about it, so he could try to get a deal to, you know, Dream Act and all that stuff to get people path to citizenship. And they never met him in the middle, because they didn't care that he was doing exactly what they wanted, which is like, why did he do it?
They're always going to move the goalposts. There'll always be something they got to be pissed off about, and blaming Democrats and the left for, regardless of what it is. It's just a convenient. And they also just know that there's a whole lot of white people out there that are just pissed off and upset in general, you know, and have been for a while. So, like you said, laundering these like white nationalist precepts for that audience. You know, obviously they found that it's effective, so why would they stop doing it? But it's just wild to like, I say stuff like this all the time, and I acknowledge that it's stupid because they're very different. Their brains work completely differently. But like, to me, if I found out that somebody, you know, that some shit that I was pumping publicly to my massive audience every night had like a version of that had led directly to a mass murder, you know, like I just feel like that would have resulted some level of self-reflection or some degree of guilt or responsibility or feeling something, as opposed to just being like, no, that's bullshit. That's just a liberal talking point. That's not what really happened. And go right back to it. Like, it's just wild. The shameless sort of just lack of accountability or empathy or reason or any of those things that they have.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it a lot, but like, I guess the way you become successful in America is by being a pure sociopath. So
yeah,
it's like, but yeah, I mean, I'd fucking kill myself. Like, if I was Tucker Carlson, I was an inheritance baby who was born rich, who already had made millions of dollars, even by his like MSNBC CNN days. And then I made a couple hundred million more dollars pushing this stuff. And then a bunch of people died connected to it, even if it's not directly a fan of his. It's like the part about this was truly like scary to me. Is like, he had a whole thing, his manifesto, about climate change and how there's dwindling resources, so we got to grab them for white people. It's like that's how fast they're going to pivot from climate denial to eco-fascism. It's going to be like that,
right?
And
yeah, that's wild.
Biden gave a pretty good speech today, pushing back on it. I think he finally gets it now. But yeah, I mean, this conspiracy that's been out there for a while. I mean, the "you will not replace us" chant from Charlottesville is just this,
right? I mean, yeah, that whole thing. Yeah. Like I said, it's been a rallying cry for white supremacists everywhere for a really long time. It's like one of their central. It's like a core belief that they have, that, you know, white genocide and all that.
Can I point out how like fucking weak this particular brand of white person is? The world's not just becoming less white. It's becoming less specifically anything. Mm-hmm. People have airplanes to fly around the world, and they have dating apps where they meet people that are outside their social networks. People are fucking all kinds of different people and making all kinds of different babies. And the only people who make a big deal out of it, I mean, I know every race has their racists, but like the only organized movement around us, well, we need to have more white babies, it goes apparently up to the Supreme Court, is crackers. Mm-hmm. It's just us. Classic cracker. And I don't think people realize how interracial the world is. So like, this Japanese person was talking about how Japan's actually much more mixed race than is depicted in American media, because when they cast a Japanese character, they look for a very, very Japanese person. So you don't really even have an accurate conception. It's like, we don't have an accurate conception of what Mexicans look like. A lot of Mexicans are blonde hair, blue eyed, have red hair, whatever, but they're not the ones who come here,
right?
Because they're the upper class, because they're racist. They have a racist society too. So it's just,
yeah. And then the part of it, you know, with the internet, where the internet is concerned, because another thing that guy wrote in his manifesto, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but it was pretty close to this. He said something like, you know, and then over the course of time, I learned through infographics, shit posts, and memes on 4chan the truth of the situation regarding white people being replaced and all that stuff. But it's just the, like, unironically writing in your manifesto that you were like shown the light by shit post, quote, shit post and memes on 4chan is just, that's some wild shit, man. It's like, you know, where do you get your core ideology from? 4chan shit post. Just,
yeah.
I don't know. It's,
yeah. And this kid had, alive. He'd been sent to counseling, I think, because they were afraid he was going to shoot up his school. So this guy was known, and he literally put in one of his 4chan posts what he was planning at, that the FBI must know about me right now. So the fact they didn't stop me means they must want it to happen. And obviously they're not paying attention. They don't think the internet's real, which is why they didn't see January 6th coming. That's why the media doesn't think the internet's real. That's why they didn't see Trump coming. And, it's just like, I would just say, the only thing I could say is that the internet's a wilder place than you think. And if your kids are spending a lot of time on it, especially if you have teenage boys who are into gaming, check out what their YouTube algorithm is showing and talk to him about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, I don't know what else there's to say about it other than, like you said, it's horrific and a damn shame. Yeah. I don't know. All right. So with that said, we will move on. A little later, we're going to be talking about some primaries going on. There's some thunderdome of lunacy that is the GOP primary in Pennsylvania tonight. Mm-hmm. Polls closed just a wee bit ago. Producer Matt is with us, as always. This is Weekly Skews. And let's go ahead and get started. Well, I don't know if started is the right word. Let's get into the Daily Dumbasses. What do you think? Matt, graph it. Tonight's DD, other kids for not thinking of this excuse for not mowing the yard. Let's see this on this Fox News clip here. More talk about theories, but of a different sort.
All right, so Melissa, your son is the father's black, you're white, and he'd never mentioned issues with race before, you're saying? What exactly changed?
Right. We didn't have issues before. He's in eighth grade. They introduced this critical program, and now he's having racial issues that was not there before.
What kind of racial issues is he having?
Well, he's seen himself just as a black man. He's seen things that don't go his way as racism, and he's finding safety in numbers now.
So when you're saying he gets a bad grade at school, he blames racism, or a girl rejects him on a date, racism. Are those the kind of things you're seeing?
Yes. I ask him to clean the house, racism. Yes.
You're kidding, right? Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. They have totally changed his perspective. They have put him in a box.
That's some high-level teenager in right there, let me tell you.
Yeah. Also, it's just really funny to me because my dad pretty much agreed with her kids are used for, are there to be your slaves philosophy. So it was like, dude, do this. It was like, I mean, it's fine. You got to teach kids work ethic and, like, they got to pull their weight around the house. I ain't problem with that. But this kid really hits for me. And also, maybe her kid is a dumbass. I don't know her kid. But the fact she's blaming the government for the fact she doesn't know how to talk to her kid is really, really funny.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is I'd really like to know what the actual, like, curriculum or whatever was at that school, you know what I mean, that sort of led to that. Like, also, kids just, they get older, they become more self-aware about the world around them, you know what I mean? And obviously, I don't know, I'm talking out of my ass, but I think if you're a biracial kid, you start to get older, you're probably going to naturally start to think more about, you know, the place you live and its relationship with, you know, people like you. And you see a lot of shit on the news and a lot of shit going on, and you know, kids start to think about shit as they get older, and, you know, it just happens. But I'm sure it's the school's fault, and she's trying to get millions out of them because she can't get the yard mowed anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah. Usually people have interracial babies or grandbabies. Seeing the world through their eyes makes them less racist. This is an interesting way to go. But also the idea that this kid didn't know about racism until school told him about it. It's like, have you been to a public school? Notice who sits at which lunch table. My sister was just texting me. My nephew plays baseball. He's in, like, JV baseball. And the team they're playing today, they have one Mexican kid on the team. And these are all his friends. They're being supportive, but his nickname's Jalapeno, right? Okay. That kid does not forget he's Mexican for 1 second of that game. He's like, go Jalapeno. Better go Jalapeno. It's like, all right. So this kid found out about racism from a teacher's lesson, I guess. And now he sees it everywhere. It's just like, ugh, these people, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, anybody on the right that was worried about Dr. Seuss going away when he had Kash Patel coming in to fill the void right behind him? That's right. Kash Patel is a former Trump official who's got a hot new children's book coming out, dropping this very soon this week, I believe it is. On the subject of King Donald and him being railroaded by the evil Hillary Clinton.
It's literally called The Plot Against the King. Kash Patel has written this. It's about, let me read from Patel's own website. It's a fantastical retelling of the terrible true story. Hillary Clinton and her shifty knight had spread lies that King Donald had cheated to become king. They claimed he was working with the Russonians, but how could that be? Join Cash, the distinguished discoverer, as he uncovers the plot against the king and who is really behind this. Trump being a king is a big meme on the right now. They call literally calling him the MAGA king. And I'm not comfortable calling anyone a king.
yeah, used to be a whole thing with Americans, you know, like weren't down with the whole king thing. But yeah, yeah. They've been deifying him for a while now. You know, what's a king to a god, Mark? He's their god emperor. That's what Trump is.
To quote a friend of the show, Killer Mike, fuck a king, a queen, and all their loyal subjects. I pull my penis out and I piss in their shoes in public. One of your guys tell is he worked in the Trump White House for the National Security Council, and he was almost appointed to head the CIA. All right. Right.
You can see that's a guy. Yeah. Upper management written all over him. This guy's straight shooter. No, he looks like a sycophant of the highest order. And that generally was rewarded very heavily in the Trump administration. So, yeah. But the CIA in particular, it's a wild, you know, thing for him to have been given control of.
It's also the CIA's whole thing is denying they did propaganda they did. And this guy's like, I'm pivoting into making children's propaganda. but like, can you imagine a child this would hit for? Like,
right.
Like your parents making you read this. It's like, can we just read One Fish, Two Fish again?
Because for sure. I mean, kids like kings and wizards and stuff like that. But it's also like, I don't know, when they come out with children's books that are trying to make kids transphobic or something because they got a raccoon who wants to be a girl raccoon, but he was born a boy raccoon and that's bad or whatever the other shit they're doing is, it kind of tracks for me what they're going for. But this is such a like specific and not, I don't know, choosing this story to like turn into children's propaganda is a wild choice to me too. You know what I mean? Because normally it's more high level stuff like you shouldn't be trans or immigrants are bad or whatever else they're doing out there. But like the, you know, he did not cheat to steal the election. He was railroaded by Hillary Clinton 6 years ago. Like it's just, I don't feel like a kid's going to retain all that even subconsciously, you know?
Even if you did, that's the goal here, driving up Hillary's negatives among 4-year-olds.
Right. So yeah,
you're proud to vote against her when she's running for president in 2054. It doesn't make any sense. 2052, whatever that way. Yeah, it's a I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, but it's a collectible for Trump fans to buy. So probably make a bank off of it. I guess that's probably real cool.
Yep. All right. Our next honorable mention for dumbasses, guys like me and Mark, for getting knocked up too often, causing this formula shortage out there. That's right. Hit it.
You know, it's interesting that we are having this baby formula shortage. Perhaps it's from all the men who are becoming pregnant and cannot lactate on their own. So maybe that's where this shortage is coming from. Or it could be the pallets that are being sent to the southern border for all the illegal aliens.
You knew that was going to come through. Yeah. Yeah. Two of them on the bingo card there. It's like, where's the Mexicans at? Here it is. There it is.
Yeah. This is so dumb for multiple reasons. I don't really... My stance on trans stuff is whatever people want to do is their own business. So I have like one trans friend and I try not to ask super interpersonal questions about their own biology, but like, cause it's fucking rude. I don't ask straight people about their genitals either. But the idea that, my assumption here is if someone who identifies as a man is getting pregnant, they were a biological woman who were born as, who they'd be able to breastfeed. So I don't even think she's got the exact dynamic here, even from a bigot. I know she's trying to make a joke. She always makes a joke about Pete Buttigieg breastfeeding, too. I just wish she'd fucking quit Congress and do her YouTube show, because that's all she wants to do anyway. She's fucking. Have you ever seen the stories about she's beef with Marjorie Taylor Greene? Apparently they hate each other.
No. I thought they were part of the, you know, the opposite of the squad or whatever.
Now they apparently have a big interpersonal rivalry, and it's because they had to be separated to some event a couple weeks ago. The guy almost got blows because Lauren Boebert hates Marjorie Taylor Greene for making her look crazy.
For Marjorie Taylor Greene makes Lauren Boebert look crazy in Lauren Boebert's estimation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what she thinks she's doing with all the shit she says. Like, they both, like, no, your actions and words and just general demeanor makes you look crazy. The existence of Marjorie Taylor Greene, if anything, takes some of the crazy heat off of you periodically. You guys sort of pass the crazy ball back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. That's why.
A couple people sent me messages asking for a baby formula episode, and we are going to talk about it. I'll get more. We have more of it later in the show, and then we'll tell you about some other stuff. But this is not breastfeeding men and babies of the border is not reason you can't buy baby formula places. Not even remotely fucking close.
All right. Our next honorable mention. The media for not being in touch with what real Americans truly care about. Who's on the cover of Vogue magazine? That's right, Vogue, with a huge slight here. Let's hear it straight from her mouth. Melania.
Yes.
How did you put up with the constant the media? Take Vogue, for example. 5 months into Joe Biden's presidency, Joe Biden's on the cover. Kamala Harris is on the cover before she's even sworn in. Hillary Clinton was on the cover when she was first lady. Michelle was on the cover 3 times. Yet, with your business background and your fashion background and your beauty, never on the cover of Vogue. Why the double standard?
They're biased. And
who gives a shit? Likes in these who gives a shit?
And it's so obvious. And I think American people and everyone sees it.
This is the, you have the gist, Matt. They, like, the things these people are obsessed with are fucking, I could not, you put a gun to my head, I could not tell you how many times Michelle Obama was on the cover of Vogue, or if she was.
Right. Yeah. Like, no idea.
Who cares? Who cares? This is a woman who's obscenely wealthy, even with just her own money. Forget her billionaire or whatever husband. She's being interviewed by a guy who flew down to kiss her ass at her own private golf course compound. And she's doing woe is me bullshit. These people fucking drive. They'd be disgusting if they weren't politically awful and immoral. Just the narcissism drives me insane.
Yeah, I'm sure, I don't know if she fed them that question or what, but I mean, I bet she gives a shit, you know, that she was never asked to be on there, even though she says that she had the more important things to do than be on the cover of Vogue, you know, like the Christmas stuff. Always busy with Christmas stuff. No time for Vogue.
Yeah. Anyway. It's her second biggest problem, besides the fact that Trump winning the election made her leave Trump Tower, where she was maintaining her long-running affair with the head of the building security. That is the Trump winning the election. The one way in which I do feel bad for her is Trump winning the election fucked up her life. Not nearly as bad as everyone else in America, but it wasn't great for her either. So prayers out for Melania for having the world's shittiest husband and not being on the cover of Vogue magazine and having her and being cock blocked from her fair.
Yep. All right. Last honorable mention, Elon Musk for not taking the pillow guy's phone call. He's got important business at hand. Mike Lindell, let's see it.
I want to reach out if Elon Musk, if you're watching, I want to reach out to Elon Musk, Brandon, and not for any other reason other than he's got a big presence out there right now. There, you know, he's all over the news, right? And he's driving the left crazy. He's trying to kind of woo conservatives. That would be the word. Well, my thing is, I'd like to sit down with Elon myself one-on-one and show him in a 15-minute little presentation I have and say, here's where we're at. This is what they did. You flew to the moon or whatever, flew to outer space. Here's the cyber stuff, Elon. No one else is looking. I wanted to reach out if Elon.
Right. So, for one, he thinks Elon personally went to the moon, which uh-huh. Makes for me, because I don't think Elon even did the Jeff Bezos thing where he rode up to space.
Right. Yeah. He probably thinks he went to the moon in that Tesla or whatever. It was, yeah. He's like, yeah, you took one of your cars to the moon. Everybody saw it. It was great. We got stuff to talk about.
I mean, when he launched that Tesla into space with the mannequin riding in it and took the selfie looking back to Earth in a space helmet, I was like, that is a brilliant way to get rid of a body. Just no proof.
Yeah.
Just shot a guy in a car into space. But the way these guys think things work is, one, Elon personally went to the moon. Elon trying to buy Twitter, pulling shit out of his ass about politics he doesn't understand. And therefore, he has the power to reinstate Trump or whatever. And also, it's just hilariously because crypto's collapsing. Elon probably can't buy Twitter anymore. He's trying to get out of the deal. So that's really fucking funny to me.
All right.
Put all his money in Luna coin, Trey.
Yeah, well, we had a bunch of primaries today, and I want you to talk to us about them. But first, just because I'm self-conscious about it, I just want to remind, if I'm blinking a lot, looking all weird in my eyes, reminder, I had surgery, and I'm still not all the way back. If you can see the blood in my eyes, I apologize for that, too. I hope you don't find it too upsetting. Anyway, you know, yeah, we're here. Mark, primaries, what's going on with them?
Yeah, well, there are primaries in five states today, Idaho, Kentucky, North Carolina, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. Because North Carolina is voting today, Madison Cawthorn's career could be over by the time we finish this episode. It's career in politics, anyway. I'm pretty sure he'll have a pretty successful career in right-wing media.
Matt says he's behind as of right now with 60% of the votes in.
Cool.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Fuck off. So just all around, this primary cycle has been depressing as hell. We always have a bunch of lunatics in state level politics, but it's like over and above. Like what Trump has done to our body politic is just insane. For a small example, they aren't voting today in Nevada, but Ted Cruz endorsed a lady for state treasurer in Nevada who once said cancer is a fungus that can be cured with baking soda, who was demoted from being mayor pro tem because of racism, said the flu is worse than COVID, and funneled campaign money to her kid. Her name's Michelle Fiore, and yes, if you're wondering, she has been in trouble with the IRS, which is a prerequisite to be in Republican politics nowadays. She also lost her home health care license because of Medicaid fraud. Here's a quote from her on Syrian refugees. He's like, the Syrian refugees. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I'm about to fly to Paris and shoot them in the head myself. I mean, I'm not okay with Syrian refugees. I'm not okay with terrorists. I'm okay with putting them down, blacking them out. Just put a piece of brass in their ocular cavity and in their miserable life. I'm good with that.
What the fuck, dude? Literally talking about executing refugees and fighting cancer with mushrooms or whatever that other shit you said was. It's like you literally have to, like, you're talking about Boebert and MTG, and it's like you just gotta, it's just a crazy off. It's one big crazy, like, you can't compete on their side right now if you're not a full-bore lunatic, because, you know, there's going to be somebody out there who's willing to go that extra crazy mile and willing to do the full lunatic thing. And so if you're not going to be that guy, then you better go home, because ain't no place for that sort of thing, reasonability or anything in the modern-day Republican Party.
Stupid. Yes. Corrupt,
loud,
and mean, right?
Mean, yeah.
In the same country, and one of those three would be enough to disqualify you. But in our present reality, that's the trifecta, baby. That's the total package.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's been crazy, but maybe the most depressing set of primaries is in Pennsylvania for a variety of reasons, consistent characters in them. So we're going to talk about them for a little bit. There was a fun, let's start with the Democratic side, where the good news is, and it looks like Fetterman's going to win, except he just had a stroke. So he's recovering from that, apparently. He voted from his hospital bed or voted from his bed. I don't know if he's home or not. But there's a funny focus group last week with primary voters where they asked them, they showed them Conor Lamb's ads calling Fetterman a socialist. And they're like, yeah, we've seen him. But also, he's really big. So they like him because he's big.
Yeah. Well,
so. Like, the takeaway, Democrats, run more absolute units, run more big guys. Yeah.
I mean, that's comical and it sounds dumb and everything. And I'm not saying it's not, but like, I can sort of see part of because the whole, you know, the negative stereotype about liberals is that we're weak. We're pussies, you know, sorry, wussies, sissies, whatever. You know what I mean? We don't do shit. We're weak-willed. We're not real men, if you're a man, that type of thing, right? We breastfeed. That's all. That's the shit they talk. So I can understand how having a dude who's overtly of the ass whooping variety, like a big bald some bitch with tattoos that is a Democrat. Like, I can see how that plays. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whether people think about it that way or not, it's just like, yeah, no, we got one that could whoop y'all's ass. How about that?
Yeah, but it's also like the branding thing is so funny to me, because people do vote. All the poll tested language and stuff is laid bare how incredibly stupid that is. Voters vote based on vibes. It's vibes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Vibes. So Democrats, you might as well do what you want and actually try to help people, because the way you're going to win or lose is vibes. You might as well do the right thing. but they're not going to do it because they think issues are what move people. This is why the day after Roe v. Wade was leaked, going to be overturned, Biden gave a speech about bringing down the deficit. That's on the tip of everyone's tongues.
I remember like in the Bush era, and I'm sure for years before that too, but it's always been a thing where, you know, the guy you'd like to have a beer with, that whole thing, you know, that's like what a lot of people based off of. Just seems like you'd get a beer with him, even though, you know, he was a recovering alcoholic and whatnot. But just that sort of idea of it being, you got to be charismatic above all else. People want to like hang out with you or whatever, as opposed to, you know, care about your aptitude for doing the job or your ideas for the future and direction of the country or any of that shit. It's like, how good are you at shuffleboard, motherfucker? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I don't even necessarily think that's stupid, though, because when you say you want to have a beer with someone, you're saying, I like that person and trust them. I think you could have a real conversation with them about my life. Right. So like, that's part of it. But like, the funny thing to me is like, I think Federer went to an Ivy League school. So the lesson here is here's like another quote in that focus group. It found that it said a couple people in Trump voter focus group said they might vote for Fetterman in the general. So the lesson here is that Hillary Clinton should have started wearing Dickie shirts and gotten some neck tattoos in 2016. And we wouldn't be in this mess. But like, also the good point is like a significant portion of Trump voters are willing to prioritize a candidate being a fighter and someone they can relate to, right? So Fetterman's going to pass that test with flying colors over, hypothetically speaking, Dr. Oz, if that's who he gets in the general. We'll talk about that in a minute. But also, do you want to guess what Fetterman's signature issue is? And I knew this was in his bag of tricks. I didn't know this was his main emphasis.
This is not my guess for his issue, but producer Matt says that he wears Carhartt, but not hipster Carhartt, like the kind with the name on the sleeve, Carhartt. So, you know, it's just Trump voters, they see him and it's like, well, he seems like he could be all right. He can't be all bad just because of his whole vibe. I mean, I'm all for it, but his signature issue, I do know it, but why don't you tell us all what it is?
Legalizing weed, baby.
There it is.
Legalizing weed. It's a layup. It's right there.
We've been saying it forever. It seems like it should be such a layup for any Democrat politician, but that most of them just don't do it. So it's refreshing to see someone finally doing it, because no one is so opposed to it that they'll like withdraw their vote or vote for someone else because of it. At this point, most people either don't care or they're for it. So you're not going to get up any real opposition to it. But at the same time, there are plenty of people out there, I believe, who wouldn't otherwise vote at all, maybe, or even be like politically engaged, that will come out and vote for you if you tell them you're going to legalize weed. Like, I know people, I've met people personally that are like single issue voters, and that issue is weed being legal.
Yeah.
You know, they got neck tattoos, but that's beside the point. Like, these people exist and they're real, and why not, you know, and there's just there's no downsides to it and only upsides. So why not do it? And I don't know, why don't more people do it?
There was according to that, the polling of this article, only like 1% of people are likely to vote specifically because of this issue. But there was an interesting quote I thought was really prescient from just a regular voter in there, who was like, why she thought it was a good sign. And she was like a 60-year-old lady who didn't even smoke weed. She just thought like, it's a sign that you're not a dumbass who's stuck in the past. It's just it just shows you're not a moron. And this is like, and this is in contrast to Connor Lamb, his main opposition, who, quote, former federal prosecutor, Lamb was one of just six House Democrats to vote against federal cannabis legislation in December 2020 and ridiculed the House for considering it during a pandemic.
I mean, what? Well, yeah. I just don't know how you could be that tone deaf, one of only six Democrats to vote against it. Like, I mean, but you said former federal prosecutor, and I know that, like, law enforcement as an entity is one of the primary impediments to weed law reform, you know, private prisons, law enforcement, booze, big pharma, shit like that. But it's
absolutely no one thinks, I mean, I'm sure they exist, but very few people think their kid or grandkid should have a permanent criminal record for being caught doing a drug that almost everyone has done at some point in their life. It's just stupid. And just like that lady said, it's just a sign you're not a fucking idiot. But our problem is, I think we talked about this on a recent recorded episode, is the one person in America who does think it's a political loser is Joe Biden.
Guess what, Mark? Producer Matt has reported we got some breaking news, breaking skews here. Put it up there, Matt. Why not? Show that. Show them what you just showed me if you've got a screen grab of it. Look at that. Dave Washington.
Hell yeah.
I've seen enough. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman defeats Representative Connor Lamb in the Pennsylvania Senate Dem primary. So there you go. Washington.
That's good
calling
news.
It. Yeah.
That's good news because it's going to be a down year for Democrats, but one of the upside of the weed issue is it's going to make people more enthusiastic to go vote, even if it's not single issue voting on that. And so, you know, it's going to be a down year in the election cycle. The Republican side, let's talk about who he might face, because this is the truly crazy part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Oz was poised to win. He got Trump's endorsement, but Trump's endorsement doesn't appear to be working. Like, polling wise, it's basically, it's you got Oz, David McCormick and Kathy Barnett, who's the Trumpiest candidate, but Trump endorsed the other. And McCormick's more of like the same business Republican dude, even though his wife worked for Trump. And he's, by the standards of 2012, he'd be a insane Republican. By today's today's standards, he's a rhino.
Right.
If Oz loses, he's going to be because he's a huge, obvious fucking phony. Here's a quote from this story. This is outside of a Republican rally. Someone had tallied a straw poll on a piece of poster board asking, "Dr. Mehmet Oz, America first?" There were six marks next to yes and more than a dozen next to no. And a third option, someone had written "fuck no" in black marker, and received three votes. So at a rally for Dr. Oz, the votes were 12-6 that Dr. Oz hates America. So if he loses, that'll be so that's why Trump's voters probably won't turn out for him in the general. But if you want to see the vibes he's putting off, let's check out this video he did from a Fox News hit he did a couple days ago.
And you never want to let your people down. So when you go to bed at night and put your head on that soft pillow, you know Oz will be doing exactly what you want him to do if you were there next to him.
What?
So just get in bed with, just imagine yourself in bed with Dr.
Oz. Dr.
Oz.
And know that he will be doing whatever you want him to do, you know.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, say no more. Yeah.
He's a gentle lover, the doctor.
Absolutely. A generous lover, Dr. Oz. Yeah. Again, I think this got brought up, we were talking about him before, but it's kind of wild to me that the whole charisma part of it, how much he's struggling with that, just because of the fact that he was on TV every day for so many years. You know, I would have thought he'd have a little more aptitude in that regard, but no, not the case, evidently.
But those shows are pre-taped. You can read, you can retake stuff. And by the way, for background sake, you have to worry about like what happened to a once nice guy. I had a friend who worked on his show in New York, and she quit with no backup plan because she was a producer on that show because he was such a nightmare asshole to work with. So he's not even secretly nice behind the scenes, like your boy JD is, apparently. Trey's best friend, JD Vance.
Yeah, good guy to get a beer with, you know. My old bar buddy, JD Vance.
Just to sum up what's happening here, this is the weirdest race in America because Trump's voters like Kathy Barnett. Trump likes Dr. Oz. You saw him on TV. The Club for Growth, which is the business wing, has been giving money to Barnett because she's like, you know, that horse in the Kentucky Derby that came from way back.
Mm-hmm.
She was at 5% like 2 weeks ago. She's in second place, like 25% now. Said the last poll I saw. So they fucking love her. So they're trying to bet on the winning horse here. So the dynamic is based that Trumpers are attacking a far right candidate as Kathy Barnett for being too mean to immigrants and Muslims to help an apolitical huckster pretending to be a conservative who wants it so bad he promises if he gets elected he'll stop being a citizen of Turkey. Just everyone coming out of this looking good. Everyone. A little bit more about Kathy Barnett. She has a disturbingly real shot, even though no one even really knows who she is or where she came from. She literally just appeared out of nowhere with no paper trail. She could have been born 3 weeks ago and no one would fucking know about it, except she was at January 6th. So that's the only reason we know she was alive 2 years ago. So here we go. Watch this video about her from Fox News if you haven't.
Where were you an adjunct college professor? Yes, you know, and in fact, let me just make this really short for you, and to your list and to your viewers. You can go to my website at barnettforsenate.com. We've placed right there on the front page. You'll see my family, and around my family is a will, and we place right there the things right. You want to know.
She doesn't answer the question.
No, and she doesn't. Yeah, spoiler. She never answers the question. She just, you know,
yeah,
and refers you to the website.
Is not on her website. The question is very simple. You say you were an adjunct college professor.
Right.
What school
Where?
Was it?
Yeah.
Ted, that's a, what's the longest college name in the world? 4 or 5 words?
Yeah. Probably.
That's the best three
somewhere
cities
in Wales
it?
Or some shit. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So the Washington Examiner, which is a right wing paper, it should be noted, ran this story. Who is Kathy Barnett? And they just sent her, she couldn't get her on the phone or any of her press people, so they just sent her an email with these questions. 1, the name of her hometown. 2, where was she an adjunct professor and when? When was she claims to be in the military. So this question is, when was she an officer candidate school? What financial institutions did she work at and when? When did she move from Virginia to Pennsylvania? Because she says in her book bio from 2018, she lived in Virginia. So what year did she move there and move to PA? And a confirmation that the college she graduated from was Troy State University. These are basic top-line resume details. This mm-hmm. is not super deep oppo research. You say you were in the Army. What years? What did you do there? Right?
Right.
And the reply from the campaign manager was, Kathy keeps her early life as private as possible, so I'm sure you can understand why. And that's a reference to the fact she claims that she was a product of rape. That's her her part of her moving personal narrative is that she's against abortion because if her mom had gotten an abortion, she'd be dead, right? That said, she sucks. She's a lunatic. She said a bunch of really awful, evil shit about Muslims, gays. I don't know if she's QAnon adjacent, but it would not surprise me. She has awful opinions about just about everything you can say. And so the funny thing is, Team Trump, in the form of his leading spokesman, Sean Hannity,
right,
he's trying to take down Kathy Barnett for not being sufficiently left wing.
Yeah.
Let's watch this Hannity.
This is wild.
Frequently spewed. I mean, not just once, not one day, not occasionally. Spewed quite a bit of hateful rhetoric against gay people, people that are Muslims. She even once asked her followers to pray for her because she was about to board the plane to California and there was a homosexual female on the flight. All right. And she also insinuated Obama was a gay Muslim. This will all come up in a general election. She called for Islam to be banned in the United States.
It's like,
Kathy, we have something called.
This is Trump's to-do list. Half,
is his like 80% of Hannity's audience sitting there listening like, damn, you made the sale. Quit selling,
yeah,
buddy.
Like, come on. Hits.
How many? Yeah. How many more great things are you going to tell me about this woman in this segment? She's checking all the boxes for us here at Hannity Fans Incorporated. Like it's I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah.
The shit that they do on Fox News and Hannity does and then turn around and be like, can you believe this? This lady
yeah.
has been mean to gay yeah. people and Muslims, and we're just not going to stand for that sort of thing. And everybody's yeah. like, is this a prank? What's happening?
yeah.
just to, because to move, she's not the Trump part, you know, she's not the horse yeah. Trump backs.
So to move this through this a little quickly, so we got to get the comments and stuff and get some business to do. But she apparently at one point wanted to build a statue of America's most prominent black people, and one of them was Barack Obama. So they're also hitting her with she wanted to build a statue to Barack Obama. And a response to that was pretty funny, saying he's the first black president. I didn't vote for him, but he got the job, and it's historical. I was like, that's the saneest thing she ever said. She also said they asked her if she would support the Republican nominee, and her line at first was, "I would never support a globalist." So look forward to her splitting the party if and when she loses. Laura Ingraham, on the other hand, has been defending her. We need to show that video, Matt, because we're trying to go fast. But the governor's race. Might be even more depressing because the right-wing psycho there who's running on kind of a unity ticket with Kathy Barnett is Doug Mastriano, and he's expected to win by a decent margin. So that's concerning because he had a quote that said, if you like Ron DeSantis, don't worry about it. He's an amateur. So he's running as the most right-wing psycho in America, and if he wins, I seriously doubt any Democratic presidential victory would be certified as long as he's the governor. So that's sort of the nightmare scenario, which makes this state so important, because I don't know if you know it's not, Trey, but whoever whoever won the presidency the last four times has won Pennsylvania. It's a pretty vital swing state. Obama won it both times he won. Trump won it when he won in 2016. And Biden won it when he won in 2020. It's a true bellwether state for who's going to win the presidency. And Biden only won Pennsylvania by 80,000 votes.
I know that the GOP, the Pennsylvania state GOP party, is not happy that that lunatic's winning the gubernatorial primary because they think that that'll hurt their chances in the general because of how crazy he is. So, you know, maybe they're right. But it's also, this is what they get, man, for fucking getting their people all fucking frothed up and fired up and everything. And then, you know, it's like, we need these people as radicalized as possible, you know, as passionate as possible. And then a guy like this shows up and they're like, no, not like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, no shit, it's crazy. That's your whole thing.
I got some good shade and fraud for you on that tip in a second. But first, you're right, they are panicking. Even here's a quote from this Politico article. Some prominent Pennsylvania Republican individuals and donors are even considering publicly supporting Josh Shapiro, the presumptive. He's running out of post. Shapiro's running out of post. He's going to be the Democratic nominee. But the guy coming in second to Mastriano in the Republican primary is a guy named Lou Barretta, Barletta, who also fucking sucks, but he and another congressman by the name of Tom Marino, who's a surrogate for him, were one of the earliest people to endorse Trump in Pennsylvania, did a shit ton of campaigning for him. And here's how he pays them back. Let's watch this really heartfelt video where they can't understand why they've been betrayed by the most betraying man in America.
Matt said 1 second, he's pulling it up. But yeah, this is Marino or this Barletta who's in
this is Marino speaking on behalf of Barletta, I believe.
Okay.
Before Matt's beating up, you can go ahead. You can play Matt.
There's another issue I want to address. I was extremely disappointed when Mr. Trump came out and endorsed Mr. Mastriano. I know Mr. Mastriano. I met him in New York when I was vice president of NATO. Great military guy. But where in the hell is the loyalty?
Where is the loyalty?
From Donald Trump, the famously loyal Donald Trump, who's never thrown anybody under the bus that I can recall.
He threw his own fucking kid under the bus to escape prosecution. You can cut it, Matt. So Shapiro here. So Shapiro has essentially been running ads for Mastriano.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. It's not really for Mastriano. It criticizes him as a super harsh right wing conservative. The thing is that will push him over the top in the primary,
right?
And because Mastriano doesn't have a budget yet to run a lot of statewide ads, he's trying to lock in the voters' perceptions of him before he tries to do a half hearted pivot to centrism and for the general. And that may or may not be smart. And Mastriano is probably going to win anyway. So it's probably smart to have the first mover advantage. I would also just want to point out that in 2016, people like me and also Hillary Clinton thought it was good that Donald Trump was the Republican nominee because it would crush the party. And Lord, were we fucking owned, buddy. So, yeah, I don't know.
Right. We'll see what happens with Pennsylvania. All right, Matt, you can start looking through some comments. Also, I didn't do it earlier, so I'm going to remind you all some things here. One, if you're vaccinated and want to see me live, you can go to treycrowder.com. It's treycrowder.com because I'm doing some solo shows this summer all around the country. I hope y'all will come and see me. It's going to be fun. If you've seen me recently, fret not. It's going to be all new stuff. So, yeah, we're going to be having a good time with it. Number two, if you like this show and want to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. $5 a month, you get full-length bonus episodes like the one we did last week that'll be coming out soon. The one we recorded will be coming out about the baby formula shortage. We've covered a lot of other great topics as well. $5 a month. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go to Patreon and look me up and you can find it on there. We would appreciate it. Lastly, it's a little bit of housekeeping. Need you all to know. Hopefully this won't affect anything except just the way things look on your end. But I am going to the UK tomorrow for 3 weeks with our Georgia correspondent, Corey Forrester. We got some stuff going. We're working on something over there. Without getting into detail, me and Corey are writing a book, and it involves going to the UK. It'll make sense way down the road. Don't worry about it. But the point is, I'm going to the UK for 3 weeks tomorrow. My intent is to still do SKUs every week. As long as I'm bringing my computer and everything with me, as long as the Wi-Fi cooperates, it shouldn't change anything. It'll be 1 a.m. where I'm at, but that's okay for you all. I'll gladly do it. Leave allowances for possible technical difficulties depending on the hotel or castle or whatever I'm staying in. I don't know how it works over there. But my plan is to still do
a hobbit hole.
Yeah, hobbit hole. Yeah, y'all know how they are. But my plan is to still do the show, so just so everybody knows. Yeah. So hopefully I'll be coming to you live from across the pond starting next week, but we will see. So, yeah, that's my announcements. Matt, here we go. God damn it. Thank you, Vegan Lee on YouTube. Says, hey, you guys, hit the like button and show Trademark and producer Matt some love. Yes, like, subscribe, share, rate, review, all that stuff, all that internet stuff. It costs you nothing, and it does help us a lot, so we appreciate it. Lori Beth Brunner on Facebook says, it'll never not be hilarious how many Trump sucker uppers think that they will be the ones that Trump doesn't betray. Right, exactly.
This is the guy who reads the snake at his campaign rallies, and mm-hmm. people don't get the joke. Could you mention the baby formula episode? Something we didn't get to because I didn't really have an understanding of this before we do it. We talked a lot about how this is a fault of highly monopolized capitalism and government corruption in a straightforward sense. One of the reasons we have a baby formula shortage is because we can't import from Canada. The reason we can't import from Canada is when Trump renegotiated the North American Free Trade Agreement, American baby formula producers, I never thought about this much until I read this, but you can't really export milk because it goes bad in the boat before it gets to China, right? Plus, Chinese people don't really eat a lot of dairy, which is not something I knew for sure until I Googled it. I was like, Chinese food doesn't have cheese on it. What if Chinese people eat cheese? Googled it. No, apparently dairy's been phased so much out of Chinese people's diets that most Chinese people are lactose intolerant. According to the New York Times, I don't
know. The more you know.
But you can't export baby formula because it's dehydrated and it has a longer shelf life. So to crush the Canadian dairy industry, to keep them from developing the capacity to be able to have excess milk to export to China, the baby formula industry lobbied Trump White House to make sure we couldn't have Canadian baby formula in America. So that's one of the many reasons you can't buy it right now, is just straightforward fucking corruption. And another day in our corrupt hellscape, Supreme Court legalized bribery once again, specifically to Ted Cruz. This week, there is one of our last few campaign finance laws that is, if you loan, you can only loan your own campaign $250,000 that can be reimbursed after the election results are finalized. Ted Cruz intentionally let his own campaign $260,000 to trigger a violation so he could take this case to the Supreme Court and they could say, yes, once Ted Cruz has already won, you can give him all the money he wants to his campaign for him to pay himself. So there you go.
Vitally important that got done. Supreme Court with their priorities in order recently. Crystal Fitzhugh on Facebook says, CRT is just being used by the GQP as a pathetic attempt to counter the replacement theory they obviously espouse. Yeah, a lot of talk about theories from them lately. Some of them they're into, some of them they're not. Weird.
Yeah. Matt made the point that a lot of the states banning critical race theory are like the states you'd be least likely to see something ban replacement theory in schools. But I don't think people are teaching replacement theory in schools anyway. If it is, it's some racist psycho teacher who probably is on the path to getting fired pretty soon.
Right, but aren't most places also not teaching critical race theory in school either? Like, they teach about what happened with slavery and shit like that, which is horrific. But doing that upsets tender white sensibilities, but that's what they call critical race theory. But it's not like they're going to critical race, 101 or whatever in high school.
My understanding is critical race theory is a elective class at a few elite law schools.
Right.
It's
very,
not
very
really
specific
a thing.
Right. At a high, in higher education, but
The idea that even laws that aren't the idea is that even laws that aren't written with racist words in them have racist effects because of legacy impacts of how the system was distributed. So where schools are and where stuff was built, how cities were redlined, these have horrific criminal justice impacts 30 years after the laws themselves were deracialized. That's the idea. My understanding of critical race theory has nothing to do with what 10th graders are being taught about the civil rights movement. But we covered it before, but this guy named Christopher Rufo thought it sounded like a cool, bad word that everyone would be grossed out by. And it is. It's a Three bad things: critical, race, theory.
Yeah.
Three things that don't hit.
So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jim Gray on Facebook says banning CRT is a solution looking for a problem. Yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, that we've talked about it before, but and you know, just alluding to it. I mean, they do that all the time. They just sort of invent whole cloth, these things to be pissed off about, and then just run with it, man. Run hard with it. I mean all, the transgender bathroom things, that shit was just made up, you know, like they just make shit up and get furious about it and then win elections based off of it. So.
I mean, there is a problem. The problem is you're like, hey, wait, mom. Dad was a cop in Alabama in the 60s. What was he up to?
Right.
That's what they go on.
Well, also, it's just like, you know, we've said this before, too, but like the whole thing in the South for a long time was that textbooks, we read some excerpts from an old textbook in the South on the show months back that they did the opposite, that they sugarcoated the history of slavery and, you know, like made it way, way like less, more innocuous than, of course, it ever was. And, you know, did so in a fallacious fashion. And to act like the problem is the reverse, that like we're teaching it that it's too hardcore and it's going to upset kids or whatever, is just ridiculous.
Do you remember the whole chapter we read from a Texas history book where this emancipation was framed around this one little white girl in the 1860s who was sad to lose all her slaves?
Yeah. Debbie D. Hartman Lane says, I'm 71 years old. Saw you twice in Asheville, North Carolina. Thank you for getting your message out. Love, Skews. Well, thank you, Debbie D. Debbie D, much appreciated. It's very sweet of you to say and to come to the show. Don't know when I'll be back in Asheville, but I know it won't be too long. Asheville, tremendous liberal redneck town. And, yeah, maybe they're getting Cawthorn out of there tonight. High along wheels, no more. That'd be pretty sweet.
Real quick before we go, let's check on the results in Pennsylvania.
Check it out, see what you can find there, Mark.
Only 8% of votes are counted, so it's not really any takeaways. But right now, it's McCormick, Oz, Barnett, and Republican side starting to call for Fetterman. And for the governor, it says, Mastriano's in second to a guy named Bill McSwain. But
Matt sent me one, a tweet in the North Carolina primary. 47% of precincts reporting Chuck Edwards, 36.5%, Madison Cawthorn, 29.4%. So
I've seen enough.
Yeah. Stop the count. All right. That's it. We're going to stop the show. We'll be back next week with any luck, but that's the plan. Thank you. Say you love you. Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.